Be my anchor, be my light and be my shield. Be my strength and my confession. Be my song, be my victory. In my battles, I'll remember you will keep me in perfect peace. You are faithful, my defender. You are good, and you will always be. Broken, never I'll be with you. I'm back where I belong. Let my life burn with compassion, like a fire that never dies. Build your church and build your come back home. He is greater than the fears you face. You are like that. Come on, where you belong. Da 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 da. You set me free and change this heart into your home. And ever I'll be with you. I'm back where I belong. And I will live.
Good morning and welcome to this morning service. This week during prayer time, we read from one of the smaller Psalms, Psalm 131, and I'd like to read it now before we start our service. Psalm 131 says, Lord, my heart is not proud, my eyes are not haughty. I do not get involved with things too great or too wondrous for me. Instead, I have calmed and quieted my soul like a winged child with its mother. My soul is like a winged child. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forever. As we come this morning, let's just calm and quieten our soul before God. Let's allow him to talk to us. Let's allow him to feed us this morning. So I'm going to pray and then I'm going to ask him to lead us in worship. Father, I thank you. We can come to you this morning. Lord, we come to you and we ask you, Father, to calm and to quieten us, Lord, at this time. Father, we choose to be in your presence. Lord, we pray that as we come, that your peace, your calm and your quietness will overtake each one of us, and that, Lord, we will experience the depth of your love afresh again this morning. Lord, come and speak to us, I pray. And Lord, accept this offering of praise. Lord, we give you. Lord, accept this offering as praise and let it be sweet smelling to you in heaven. Father, we ask our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, Hope Church. Looking towards my song choices this week, I picked up on John Milbank's comment on WhatsApp after last Sunday. Hope I never drag my anchor in my desire to taste and see that the Lord is good. That leads us nicely into Psalm 106, verses 1 to 5, which reads, "Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare his praise? Blessed are those who act justly, who always do what is right. Remember me, Lord, when you show favour to your people. Come to my aid when you save them, that I may enjoy the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may share in the joy of your nation, enjoy your inheritance in giving praise." Our first thing this morning is Chris Tomlin's "Forever, Give Thanks to the Lord, our God and King."
Stretched on, his love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. His love endures forever, and by the grace of God, we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful.
God is good. I question the suitability of this next song, but beyond the title, in these times, the lines, There are shadows all around. Do not fear. He will guide you. He will keep you safe and sound. There is no question. God is good all the time. You can use your saucepans and spoons if you want to accompany along. God is good all the time.
God is good. God is good. And all the time. God is good. And all the time. Do you believe it tonight? God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good. Yes, he is. All the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Here we go. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. Yes, he is. God is good all the time. Yes, he is. If you're walking through the valley, there are shadows all around. Do not fear. He will guide you. He will keep you safe and sound. He has promised to never leave you or forsake you. And his word is true. God is good. Come on. All the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good. All the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good. All the time. Yes, he is. We were sinners and so unworthy, still for us he chose to die. He filled us with his Holy Spirit. Now we can stand and testify that his love is everlasting and his mercies, they will never end. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. Yes, he is. God is good all the time. Yeah. Though I may not understand all the plans you have for me, my life is in your hands, and through the eyes of faith I can clearly see that God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart. All the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Do you believe it tonight? Let's sing it together. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good. God is good. He's so good. He's so good. God is good. He's so good. He's so good. All the time.
He's good. God is good all the time. Luke 15, verses 4 to 7 records Jesus telling the parable of the lost sheep. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? When he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. How good is our Lord for watching out over each and every one of us and not neglecting the sinners that need his love, but don't always know it. Psalm 103 verse 8 reads, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love." Our next song is "The Lord is Gracious and Compassionate."
Gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate.
From the west.
Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate.
Lion and the Lamb, God. Sing with me how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great, how great is our God.
Our God is good. He is truly amazing. He pours his love on us. Maybe, when we've had extra time to reflect on God, we may have considered the first verse of this last song, Amazing God.
Looking in the sky, who ever could deny your glory? Gazing into space, how small the human race appears. I wonder how it could be that you delight in me. Lord, you are an amazing God. Lord, you are an amazing God. Lord, you are an amazing God. And I love you.
Well, thank you for the worship, and we're going into a time of prayer now. And as it says in Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. So let's pray now. Father God, we thank you that we have this time of prayer with our church on this platform today, Lord, and the church can meet in unity and pray as a one body. So we thank you for that, Lord God. Praise your holy name. Amen.
We're now coming out of lockdown, baby steps, and we would like to pray about that situation. And we know the Lord God is with us, but he likes to hear us. And Father God, I just thank you that you are listening to each one of us right now. And Lord God, I lift up to you right now the elderly and the vulnerable. I pray, Father God, that you heal their minds and give them peace and rest, rest in their spirits. And Lord God, I pray that you comfort them as only you can. And Lord God, I ask, Father God, for your forgiveness, that Lord God, care homes were almost forgotten. And I thank you, Lord God, for every carer who works there, Lord God, in different residential homes day by day. And we thank you for them, Lord God. And I ask you, Father God, to be with them, to strengthen them, to help them to have a new understanding of their residence. And Lord, I pray as we come out of lockdown after COVID, that we will have more respect for carers and their homes, for the elderly. I just hope, Lord, that we have learned something through this horrible time. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And Father God, I thank you that you are the defender, our defender. And I thank you, Father God, for the young and the strong. We do need them all right now. And I pray, Father God, that as they come out of lockdown and they get the freedom that they have so much needed and longed for, I pray, Father God, that they will have a respect for the vulnerable and the elderly, Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord, that they will respect social distancing, which is awkward for young ones. But I pray, Father God, you imprint it on their hearts. And that, Lord, once more, I pray, Father, that some good will come out of that situation, and that, Father, young ones will not be involved in drugs and knife culture. I just pray, Lord God, we see an end to that in Jesus' name.
Amen. And also, Lord, we do continuously pray for the vulnerable populations, Lord, the black and minority ethnic communities, yes. Lord, yes. Who have been heavily hit by the virus, Lord. Yes. Pray you'll bring this to a stop, Lord, and you will heal the individuals that are very unwell at the moment, Lord. Give them a full recovery. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lord, we thank you. And we ask you, Father, that, Lord, the scientists will look into why ethnic and black people are so vulnerable to COVID. And Lord, we ask you, Father God, to please reveal to them urgently. And Father, I thank you for the ethnic and dark black people who have supported us and supported the national health through many, many years. I thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. And also, Lord, the Christian missionaries all over the world, Lord, we ask you to shield them, Lord. They're walking into great danger in many cases. So we lift them up to you today, this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Father. And Lord, I just thank you that you are the great physician. And Lord God, I ask you now that as we come out of lockdown, people with mental challenges will be receiving the support that they need, Lord God. I pray, Father God, Christians come alongside of them to encourage them as they go through their journey. That, Lord God, I just pray, Father, that you will bring them peace. That, Lord, you will remove the anxieties and fears that they may have. And that, Lord, we ask you to give us an understanding of what they have to suffer, Lord. And Father God, I just pray the blood of Jesus over them minds, their ears. But Lord God, they just hear you. And I pray, Father God, the blood over the doorpost of their heart, in Jesus' name.
Amen. And also, Lord, we pray for the pastors and church leaders who are faced with the great challenges of reopening the churches, this challenge of social distancing, Lord. We ask you, Lord, that you will be able to bring about the possibility of church meetings resuming in the normal fashion that we're used to, Lord, safely and protective of the people in the church. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Father God, we also ask you to bless the leaders and, Lord God, the people who work within the church. For all of us, Lord God, that when we gather together, Lord, many things have been thought out before we even arrive. And Lord God, I just thank you for each one. I thank you for the people who make tea and coffee each week, Lord. I thank you for Merlin Joan, who greet us at the door with such a lovely smile. And I thank you, Father, for the worship team. Lord God, I thank you that they encourage us. And that, Lord, there's a song in our hearts all week, Lord God. I pray you bless and anoint them. And Lord God, I thank you for our prayer group, Father. And those times, Lord, are very special. And I thank you, Father, for every person that comes to Hope Church. And Lord, we ask for more. We're greedy, Lord, for you. And we ask that you send families and young people, old people and children. And I thank you, Father God, for the people who take care of the children in Sunday school. May they be blessed and enjoy themselves and walk with the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, for your glory.
Amen. Also, Lord, we pray for the Christians in every neighbourhood and community and city in the world, really, that they will be given opportunities to bring your name out. And give people the chance, the opportunity of salvation, Lord. They need to read the Bibles. We need to, Lord, to bring about a change. This is a big change going on at the moment, Lord, with the virus, the way people are managing their lives, Lord. But they can't do it without you. And just bring this to the forefront, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Father, we just thank you that you are such a mighty God. And we come before you now, Lord God, and we just thank you that we know you. We know your Son as our Saviour. And Father, I pray that you come to the people, Father, who have been waiting and waiting for an appointment to see a consultant, or they've had their treatment delayed. Everything has been put on hold because of COVID. I pray, Father God, that as they wait for things to be put in order, that, Lord, you let them remain positive and patient, that you be with them, and that, Lord God, I pray for things to come into order and they will receive the treatment that they need, in Jesus' name.
Amen. And Lord, we also pray for the media, Lord. They're very biased in certain circumstances, but we need this to work for the good of the population, Lord. Just pray that the real truth will emerge of what's actually going on in this epidemic, which is affecting the entire world, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And Father God, as we come out of COVID, Lord God, we'd like to lift up America to you today, Lord God. And we ask you, Father God, that you will, in your mercy, bring an end to these many riots. And that, Lord God, I pray, Father God, that you give a hope to the black community who have such pain for generations. And Lord, they've not had the education opportunities. I pray, Lord God, that it will change and they will have every opportunity as anybody else in America. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that there were black and white together in unity protesting. I pray, Father God, you bless these people and that, Lord Jesus, you walk into their lives and show them that you are the answer to everything. Amen.
And also, Lord, we do pray for the business leaders who have to make very, very difficult decisions about their employees, Lord, about their lives and the way they conduct the business. We just make it our chance to opportunity to actually ask you, Lord, just to intervene in those situations, Lord, and bring restore order back to the land, not only in England, Lord, but in, over the entire world. Help us as we get out of this situation, Lord, this virus. In Jesus' name we prayed. Lord, and also now, as we bring our time of prayer to a close, we ask you to bless the entire church, Lord,
yes.
Hope Church, and also, Lord, enable us to continue with this service, this method that we're using for providing a service to the people of the church, and allow it to continue, Lord. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen.
May everyone be blessed.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you for that, Lord.
Well, this morning we're going to be looking at Proverbs again. I started it 2 weeks ago and I've got a couple more preachers that I want to bring, but I'm particularly looking at a part of Proverbs this morning which is talking about God's direction for our lives. So let's have a quick turn to Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 to 6. Proverbs chapters 3 verses 5 to 6. And it says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways know him, and he will make your paths straight. That's what the word says to us. You see, finding what God wants for us in our life to do, and it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to stand on stage in front of thousands of people or be the greatest prophet or the greatest Bible expositor or whatever it might look like for you. The important thing is that when we find what God's will is for our lives, and we're able to do what God's will is for our lives, then we will be satisfied. There is a role, there is a purpose, there is a function for you in the sphere of influence that you have and in the church that you attend, Hope Church, that only can be fulfilled by you and your presence. If you're not there, then that part is missing. That's why it's so vital to be part of a church and to be joined together as a church, which I know is very difficult right now as we are disparate and spread all across the area, but there will come a day when we're back together, and it's important to know that God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us, not only in the church but also in our own lives. And so we need to find the will and the purpose of God for our life, for our Christian life, but also for our professional life, for our family life, whatever it might look like. And just because you may have retired and say, well, I've had my time now, I don't need to do it, God's still got a will for you. Somebody I read once, I can't remember the name of the author, but it said, as long as you wake up in the morning and have breath in your lungs, then God's got a purpose for you today. So that's what we're looking at this morning, is how can we find the will of God and do it? And Solomon here gives us four ways that we can do that. And those four ways are this: trust, lean not, and acknowledge. Trust in God, lean not on our own understanding, but ask him for his knowledge and understanding of him. And that's what will make our path straight. And by doing this, this is what will lead us to the heart of God's will for us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. So the things that we think we know, the things that we think we should know, But in all our ways we know him, and if we get to know him, he will make our path straight. Now, I don't know about you, if you're somebody who's a runner or a walker and you've only walked any great distance, sometimes you can do twisty turny paths and walk a long lot further than you've actually have to walk if it was a straight path. And I always joke when I take my little dog for a walk that we run around the airfield and it's about 6 kilometres, but I reckon he must run about 10 because he's backwards and forwards here and there and all over the place. We want our path to be straight. We want to get from where we are now to where God wants us to be as quickly and as best as we possibly can, because then we can move on to the next thing that God has for us. So trusting in the Lord with all of our heart. You see, trust is this personal relationship that we have with God. It all starts when we start to, as it says in Acts 16, verse 31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's how it starts. That's the start of trusting in God. Now, so often the gospel today is presented as you just need to say a prayer, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Hallelujah. You're a Christian. You're in heaven. There is truth in that, but the start of the process is believing in God. The start of the process is trusting in God. And then it's a lifetime of working out what God wants for you. A lifetime of working out what are my sharp edges that God needs to knock off. And we need each other to do that. There are things that we might do or we might say that might hurt or offend or affect somebody that perhaps we didn't know. And it just takes the love of them to come and talk to us to take that sharp edge off of us. And so we do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we will be saved. And that's trusting in the Lord with all our heart. And that's the start of the process. But it's not the end of the process. The end of the process is ongoing. It will never be completed on this earth. It won't be completed until we get to heaven. That's what faith is all about. Trusting in God. But the Christian walk is all about trusting and then learning about our Christian faith, learning how God wants us to live, learning the right way, learning the right options, learning the right path to walk. And he will give us those straight paths. Salvation is by faith alone, though. You can't buy it. Someone else can't give it to you. It says in Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, since we've declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's by faith. It's by trusting in God. Again, comes back to what it says in Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In the tough times, trust in God with all your heart. In the good times, trust in God with all your heart. In the medium times, trust in God with all your heart. Because it's by trusting with God with all of our hearts that we are declared righteous by faith. It's the element of faith that makes us able to trust in God. And it says in Romans 5 verse 1 here, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By trusting in God, we have peace. And it's by his grace that we are saved. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9 says this, for you are saved by grace through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. You know, if we were able to earn our salvation, we'd be able to say, ah, but I did this. Ah, but if you just need to do this or you just need to do that, whatever it might be. But God says, no, no, no. He says, not by works. None of you can boast in this. It is by grace through faith. See, this first step is faith, us trusting in God with all of our heart. And then we get the grace of God upon our lives. And it's not from ourselves, it's a gift. It's something God says, here is a gift for you. You have the gift of eternal life. You have the gift of being saved by grace through your faith. Now, I always used to worry about that. I used to think, well, it's my faith, so is that my work? But it's not. It's just trusting in him. It's like trusting as a young child would and just saying, you know, Dad, I need your help. It's not, it's that relationship we have. It's not my work. It's by recognizing who he is and saying, God, you are God and I've messed up big time. I need your help. Lord, will you help me? I want to trust in you, Lord, with all my heart. And so faith brings this everlasting life. And it starts the moment we get saved. It doesn't, there's nothing else we need to add to it. There's nothing else we can bolt on. Our faith means that we have this grace, and it means that we are saved right from the moment we start believing. I hear many Christians often say, oh, I don't read my Bible enough, I don't pray enough, or I don't know how God can love me, I think I might have messed up. No, if you've got faith in Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done and what he's won for us on the cross, that's all you need. John 3 verse 36, Jesus says this, the one who believes in the Son has eternal life, but the one who rejects the Son will not see life. Instead, the wrath of God remains on him. See, the wrath of God is on us when we are in our unregenerate state, when we haven't believed. And it says, the one who believes in the Son has eternal life. At that moment we believe, where we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, that's the moment we step into God's eternity. Now, I know we're not physically there yet, but that's when our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But we're then to try and work that out, to work it through in our lives, not to lean on our own understanding, as it says in Proverbs. But it's to know him. It's to find out who God is. It's to find and develop that relationship with him so that he can draw us closer, so that he can draw us into that relationship with him and teach us the way we should go. Doesn't mean he's going to take away all the problems. Doesn't mean he's going to make everything all right. And so many preachers promise that you do this and God's going to bless you with this and God's going to bless. There are many people who become Christian and still suffer incredible hardship. But it's that fellowship together, knowing that one day we will be with him in heaven, where there is no sickness, there are no tears. We will be there. And so it's not by our own works. And that's because we can't lean on our own understanding. You know, what one person understands and from their perspective may seem and be completely acceptable, but from another person's perspective is completely unacceptable. Because that's why we're told not to rely on our own understanding. Matthew Henry wrote this in his commentary, "Those who know themselves find their own understanding a broken reed, which, if they lean upon, will fail." See, our own understanding is flawed. Our own understanding is a product, perhaps, of our learning and where we've come from. But we have to recognise that wherever we've learnt, and we might have learnt to a degree level, but we've been taught by people who have got perhaps agendas or perhaps their own misunderstandings. And our own understanding can often be something that is our downfall. We need to have God's understanding and God's wisdom and God's perspective on things, because that is the right understanding and the right way. Now, that's so hard, I know, but that can only come through relationship. It can only come through fellowship. And as we get that relationship and fellowship with God, it will allow us to know and think what he thinks and what he knows. Now, we don't become God, but we get a sense of, this is not right. This is not what God would have me do. This is not what God would have me say. That's the relationship we're developing. Our understanding of everything is limited to our intelligence and our experience. Now, I have the privilege of studying at degree level theology, but I'm very aware that the theology I'm studying is through an Anglican college. Now, there's nothing wrong with the Anglican faith and the Church of England, but all I'm saying is it would be very different if I was studying, say, at an Assemblies of God university or a Pentecostal university. The emphasis is placed on very many different things. The great thing I like about the university I study at is they have this phrase that they have, generous orthodoxy. So they encourage us to respect people who perhaps come from the more Pentecostal background, or respect people that come from a more higher church background, and to say that nobody's wrong, it's just their experience, their preference, and what they have grown up with. Now, clearly, if someone's teaching things that are not biblical, that needs to be challenged. But we mustn't lean on our own understanding. Our understanding must be on God and what his word says and who he is, not our own understanding. God's understanding is far greater than anything that any human can ever have. One of the often quoted verses in the Bible is from Isaiah 55. And it says this in verse 8 and 9. And you'll recognise it as soon as I start saying it. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For as heaven is higher than earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. You see, God is so much more than we can think or imagine. God is far above our own thoughts and our intellect. And it's a fascinating thing, I think, that many people say that the longer they are a Christian and the more they study and the more they try and get to know God, the more they realise that they actually don't know much at all about God, the less they understand. Because God is the creator of the universe above all, and his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. But it says in Proverbs, in all your ways, one version says, acknowledge him. One, in all your ways, know him. So as we give him our ways, as we say, Lord, I'm trusting you with this. Lord, I'm asking you for your way in this situation. Sorry about that short break in the video there. The sun came out and started to shine on the green screen behind me and was a little bit distracting because it was making it all ripple and look quite funny. So I'm sorry about that. The challenges of recording in a small room in the house. Anyway, as it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts and your ways are not my ways. For this is the Lord's declaration. For as heaven is higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. You see, we discover the wisdom of God in the scriptures. And the Proverbs is called the book or one of the wisdom books. And we discover God's wisdom as we read them. And we discover God's wisdom as we read all the scriptures. In fact, David knew this. He writes about this in one of the Psalms. In fact, the longest Psalm in the Bible. Psalm 119 and verse 99. David writes, I have more insight than all my teachers because your decrees are my meditation. Your decrees, God, are my meditation. Do you know, as we meditate on God's word, and we need to be careful about that word. Meditation does not mean transcendental meditation, emptying your mind of everything and chanting and recanting something over and over. That's not what this talks about. The meditation is reading God's word, hearing God's word, and allowing it to just speak to us, to think on God's word. So it's not emptying our minds. In fact, it's filling our minds. It's filling our minds with the word of God. That's what this meditation's about. And as we meditate on God's word, as we think on God's word, as we look at it, as we read it over, as we read it in its context, as we read other passages related to it, that's where we can get this wisdom that David talks about here. And it says that he gives us more insight than our teachers. Now, you may say, well, I haven't got any teachers now, but that's not, no, what it's talking about is it's given us insight. It gives us this incredible wisdom. You know, I am amazed sometimes at just how much, when you read God's word, how much it contains for life, for living life accordingly and living it with other people, and how much it can change your perspective on things, particularly if you get into a situation where perhaps you feel that you might react one way, but then the word comes back to your mind and you just think, oh yeah, that's not what God said. God's asked me to do this, or God says, God's word says this. And we find God's will through Bible study and prayer. It's through Bible study and prayer that we find the will of God. You know, we haven't got to come up with some magic formula. It's not how hard we pray or how long we pray or anything like that. It's just good old-fashioned Bible study and prayer. As we read our Bibles, as we pray to God, he will give us the wisdom that we know. And that's, as his Proverbs is talking about, in all your ways, know him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, just say, God, I'm trusting you now in this situation. I don't understand why I'm here. I don't understand necessarily what's going on. But Lord, I'm trusting you and your will to bring it through and to make it right at this time. We find God's will through Bible study and prayer. Do you know, if we pray over and we get others to pray with us over a situation that perhaps we're facing or we're having to walk through or potentially going to walk through, do you know, we know that God's will goes with us because his Holy Spirit's in us, But it's also great to have our brothers and sisters praying for us as well, as we walk through those difficult times, as we walk through those good times as well. Because it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, know him. To acknowledge God in this way means that we give him full surrender. We just completely surrender to God and say, God, you are my God, and I'm trusting totally in you. To acknowledge God in every thought and word. Now, that's a difficult thing to do, but to say, Lord, would you, Father, captivate my mind this morning when we wake up? But it says that faith comes and by hearing the word of God. The renewing of the mind comes from hearing the word of God. Lord, if we're having problems with thoughts, and some of us do have problems with thoughts, they may be ungodly thoughts, unhelpful thoughts, then we can just say, Lord, I want you to renew and refresh my mind today as I read your word, as I meditate on your word. In other words, as I recall it back to my mind at certain points in the day. Lord, would you renew my mind? Would you remove these thoughts from me? Would you take this away from me so that, Father, I can hear what you've got to say about me? Acknowledge the Lord whenever, wherever we are, whether we're outside or inside, doing something or not doing it. Just acknowledge him. Just in that moment, just say, God, I recognize you're here with me, and I'm asking you, Lord, right now, to make your way known to me. Lord, make this path straight. See, it's by trusting in God with all of our hearts, not on our own understanding, and acknowledging him in all of our ways. And all of our ways can be whatever we're doing. Our hobbies, the things we enjoy, the things that bring us pleasure, or it could be the tough things that perhaps sometimes we have to do. Just say, God, I'm trusting you in all of this situation. Lord, I'm trusting you in these dark times. I'm trusting you, Lord, in these good times. I'm trusting you, Lord, in these times where things are going well and things are great. Lord, I'm trusting you where I just can't see a way out. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge God as we are traveling to and from places. Acknowledge God when we're with people. You know, we should be constantly filling our minds with God's word. Not, and that doesn't mean that we just walk around reading our Bibles a day. What I mean is we should read our Bibles and then take something from what we've read in the morning and take that with us through the day and just say, God, would you just, Lord, speak to me through this today? And perhaps write it down on a piece of paper so that you can perhaps refresh yourself on it, or even on your phone, just take a highlight of it and have it there so you can just flick it up occasionally and just look at it and say, God, I'm acknowledging you in the situation I find myself in right now, good or bad. I'm acknowledging you, God. Lord, I'm acknowledging you so that you can make my path straight. You see, God's direction doesn't guarantee our perfection. You know, sometimes people accuse us as Christians of saying, well, you know, you're a Christian, you shouldn't be able to. God, being a Christian does not make us infallible. Being a Christian does not remove the error of our ways. What being a Christian does means that we have the Holy Spirit in us who can convict us. We have our brothers and sisters around us who can challenge us and remind us and say, hang on, are you sure you've got that right? Are you sure that's a trait or a character or something you should be saying? And we can together walk through these difficult times. We can together walk through the situations we find ourselves in. Our errors that we have sometimes, we can take to God and say, God, I'm asking you to put it right. I'm asking you to help me in this. I'm asking you to get the right mindset and attitude towards this situation, whatever it might be. We are still sinners. We're saved by grace. And we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we need to constantly come before him and say, God, I am sorry for my sin. God leads us. God, would you lead me? Lord, would you make my path straight? I'm acknowledging you, God. God, today as I go and do X, I'm acknowledging that you are my God. Would you make my path straight as I have to do that? You know, honestly, it will make all the difference in your life, in situations, if you acknowledge God before you go into them. Just say that short prayer, you know, before you go in. God, I'm about to walk into this situation. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do, but I'm acknowledging that you're my God. And Father, help me not to make any errors, not to make any slip-ups. Lord, let me respect people, let me hear your voice, and let me go into that situation in the security of knowing that you are with me. You see, it's a great privilege to be doing what God's called you to do. It's a great privilege to know that the path you're walking is a path that you may not have chosen for yourself, and God may not have sent it or chosen it for you, but you are in that situation and you can know that God is there with you. In the eye of the storm, in the fury that's going on around, you can be at peace and say, God, I am trusting in you. God, I am totally dependent on you in this situation. That's what it means to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lord, help me to put aside all of my understanding, everything I bring into this situation. Lord, if I just committing this time to you, Lord, if you want to use my intellect, if you want to use my understanding, then help me in that. But Father, give me wisdom as well by your Holy Spirit as I'm in this situation. See, the direction of the Lord brings purpose and joy in our lives. And that's why the author of Proverbs could say this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and then he will make your path straight. Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, we come before you and we acknowledge, Father, that you are our God. And we thank you, Father, your Holy Spirit is in each one of us. Lord, we are not trusting in ourselves or our own understanding. We're trusting in you, God. Lord, we are going to acknowledge you in everything we do, in everywhere we walk, in every place and situation we find ourselves in. And Lord, when we do that, we are trusting that you will make our path straight. Lord, that you will make it easier. Father, if we're walking through a tough time right now, Lord, we trust in you. And Lord, we're not leaning on our understanding. Help us to have that straight path so we can get through it very quickly. Lord, if we're in a good place right now, Lord, we trust in you. Not our own understanding, not in our feelings, not in our experience, but what your word says. Lord, we trust in you and we pray that you'll make our path straight so that we can enjoy it to the best of our ability. Father, we thank you that we can lean on you and acknowledge you in all of our ways. Because, Lord, we know then that you'll make our path straight and you'll give us that wisdom, Father, that will give us so much more knowledge than we actually need perhaps in that situation. So, Lord, we trust in you with all of our hearts. We lean not on our own understanding. We acknowledge you in all of our ways. Father, make our path straight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Kim, would you lead us in our final song, please?
Thank you for the message. Rejoice with me now in our final song before we close. Hallelujah, your love is amazing.
Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain from beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love carries me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Your love is surprising, I can feel it rising. The joy that's growing deep inside of me. Every time I see you, all your goodness shines through. I can feel this God song rising up in me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Sing hallelujah,
That concludes our service this morning. Just a reminder that we have a Zoom prayer meeting between 8 and 8:30 on Monday, Wednesday and Friday. You'd be very welcome to join us. I really am looking forward to the day that we can all be back together again on a Sunday. But for now, it'll have to make do. We will have a Zoom meeting following this at 11:45. So if you want to go and grab yourself a drink and come along and join us, it will be open. The Zoom meeting will be open any time till 11:45. So you can come and join us at any point. The details will be in the church's Facebook group, and I'll also put it on the WhatsApp group as well for those of you who'd like to join and come and just have a general chit-chat with each other. But for now, I just want to close with this blessing from Thessalonians. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your spirit, soul and body be kept sound and blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Amen.